Integrating love and sensitivity in the soul evolution process and caretaking of all life. Sadly, need we to say that the majority of humans has gone astray from this, your original mission? We do not have time in your short lifespan to cover all the many civilizations, empires and kingdoms that your people have built, developed, abandoned or destroyed, or that were devastated by nature. The many wars, since the days of Lemuria and Atlantis, have been caused by the lower lords in pursuit of power, to misappropriate this planet for themselves, under their domination and rule. There are too many to list, even counting only those involving your people. Through long-term strategy of infiltration and division, those power-hungry lords succeeded in dividing you and separating you from your soul. They enslaved your ancestors to mine for them and to worship them as gods, later modifying your DNA to become more docile, servile, and depending on external support, and less psychically aware. They established their dynasties and bloodlines to rule over you, and created institutions to control you. Today, their control grid has reached to every corners of the earth, imposing its rule even on your last tribal peoples who have kept living in balance with nature and in harmony with the cosmic order. Those keepers of your ancient wisdom, who are the last caretakers of life, still faithful to your spiritual mission, have increasingly become the targets of the invading dominators and controllers. They also have preserved much of your ancient spiritual understanding and many of your psychic abilities, some of them having stayed connected and in contact with my Sasquatch people and with our star elders. Some of them, like your Hopi relatives, have known and prophesied of our return, as your long-awaited elder brother coming to guide you back into a planetary civilization of peace, with our star elders living among us to lead us into spiritual interspecies relations, as it was in your early beginning. Now, our return depends only on the awakening of your soul and the opening of your consciousness, since we have always been among you and never disappeared from this home planet, other than in your collective memory, altered and shortened by the enslaving uncivilization that has been controlling you. We do not have to detail all those events that are already inscribed in your DNA starseeds genetics and in your soul memory. It is your responsibility to awaken your soul and recover your old wisdom. We are here to assist you in this process, if you can accept our help, but we cannot do the work for you. The healing of your collective karma and the end of the Anthropocene extinction depend only on your own decisions and actions. Our star elders will not intervene if you cause your own annihilation, as it happened on other planets before. But they certainly wish for a better outcome to this long evolutionary experiment of spiritual consciousness on Earth, and will offer all the help you are willing to receive. Now, little brother, we know that it has been demanding for you to receive our message in thoughts and transmit them into words and human speech, and for this we are happy and grateful for your help. There would be much more we could tell you, but the essential of our message has been said for now. A bridge has been built towards spiritual interspecies relations and a sacred portal has been opened. Many of your people have and will come forth with more messages from us, as we will keep reaching out to those of you whose soul is ready to communicate with ours as interdimensional ambassadors. Now you can rest, little brother, as I can we will also do, grateful, happy, satisfied with this spiritual mission of bridging our worlds, accomplished with you, dear younger brother and distant offspring. I asked Sasquatch, when will we meet and speak again? He replied, our soul is one, we are always connected in spirit. We do not have to meet on the physical plane, as you have seen, we can manifest to you anywhere you go and we'll stay by your side. You will travel to other lands, with different missions. You have fulfilled our wish now. There will be more service to do later, for the divine plan of Creator. Author's note: greetings of peace to all my relations. Since some have wondered and asked about who has been channeling this Sasquatch message, I accepted to write a short bio to introduce myself to my human family. My spirit elder Kamu told me to finish first to transmit their message and then write some words about myself for my people. As Kuone wrote, this book is not about me but about them. The life of a man is but a blade of grass on the prairie, weathered away by the winds of time. Lakota holy man Black Elk, Wikasa Wakan Heihaka Sapa, said that the life of man finds its meaning and significance in the teachings and wisdom learned along the way, which is worth sharing and passing on. Our ultimate purpose and raison d'etre is to help consciousness to rise to higher levels of spiritual understanding. So, although I've been working on an autobiography since 9 years, with over 300 pages written and about two-thirds through, entitled, in French, Contemporary Shamanic Journeys, I'll write here a short account of the most relevant events. I was born in Montreal, in a French-Canadian family with Métis ancestry. The first native legend I ever heard when I was 8, from my brother who had heard it in a summer camp, was about their Wulu, a derivative of Babalu, as the hairy forest people are called in Maine. We had never heard the word Sasquatch back then, but it was only a few years later, before my teenage, that the Patterson footage came on our screens, with other revelations such as Von Daniken's Chariots of the Gods, awakening my interest in star people, hidden archaeology and paranormal phenomenons, and raising questions that my Christian or academic education could not answer. Before I turned 17, I left for my first tour of Turtle Island, N. America, which became a pilgrimage in search of spiritual understanding, through churches, temples, ashrams and connections with Mother Nature. The first fall, a medicine man I met instructed me into doing a vision quest, in which I encountered my first spirit guide. Although I didn't understand what was happening then, I felt deeply that native ancestral teachings held many answers. The following summer I went to my first rainbow gathering, opening my heart to a universal family. This two-year pilgrimage culminated on Hopi land in the spring of 83. Just before reaching there, I spent a night in Petrified Forest, where I had a vision of a Sasquatch who sat nearby and showed me how it was when he walked with the dinosaurs. I first thought I was reading the etheric memory, but he interacted with me, so I then thought he was an astral ghost. I didn't understand at the time that they are interdimensional beings able to manifest on different planes. Looking back, the meaning of many past steps are just becoming clear now, at the light of the communications I had with Sasquatch recently. On my first visit to Hopi, I was welcomed with warm hospitality, received teachings, was gifted an eagle feather from a ceremonial dress, and saw my first Kakina dance. Through the years, I returned over a dozen times, thrice as guide for groups, did fasts and visions quests, met elders, received teachings, and was adopted in April 87 by the Coyote clan, I saw, of Hotvilla, who made me chief of the pipe, Chongmungwai, gave me my Hopi name in a Kakina ceremony in the Kiva, and spiritual knowledge to carry to them and for all those elders, teachers, guides and allies, I am forever grateful. Among the Hopi elders I visited in their homes, five deserve special mention. 1. David Monongai, who was in his last year among us, aged 117. 2. Thomas Banyasya, whose life mission was to fulfill the prophecy and open the doors of the House of Glass, UN, to indigenous peoples, Hitsatsinum, which he accomplished in 1992, 500 years after Columbus. 3. Oswald White Bear Fredericks, one of the main source for the Book of the Hopi, he was compiling and explaining petroglyphs from around the continent, he was the last human representative in the Council of Star Elders, who landed on Prophecy Rock behind his house to pick him up for flights, he had a collection of old spaceship parts in his yard. 4. Titus Kome Yumtiwa, one moon before his journey to the ancestors, as he had just completed the Song of Purification, calling the change from this fourth to the coming fifth world, coinciding with the birth of Miracle, the first white bison of our generation, whom I went to visit the following month in with, leaving a pipe with her. 5. Martin Gashzioma, who returned to the spirit world this last spring 2015. He was the keeper of the Fire Clan Sacred Stone Tablet, with the missing corner that is to be brought back by the awaited true brother, whom Martin told me he knew he would meet during his lifetime. The name I was given at birth is not as relevant as the spiritual names I was gifted on my healing path. In winter 84, on a vision quest in southern Mexico, I was surrounded by singing angels, and received the name Sunbow as my medicine shield, while learning about the Rainbow Warrior's prophecies. I have kept using this name since in ceremonies and writings, but most people know me simply as Bo. With years of travels and ceremonies, I received and carried several other names, but used mostly the following in ceremonies: in Hopi, Oiquilnatakadua Outalelanhoya, the man with the burden of the stone Sunbow signing one; in Anishinaabemowin, Algonquin language, Asininitshikshkobomana medicine in Kinoshmao Egan, little stone man charged with the stone talks with wolves; in Spring 85, on a vision quest in Algonquin Park, Ontario, where a woodsman friend had Sasquatch encounters, I stayed alone for 10 days on a summit, which he has called Sinspo Mountain. I felt strong telepathic presence and the Akashic records were opened for me for the first time, showing me pages of past ages history, starting with Lemuria, later confirmed by many sources, ancient or modern. In summer 86, on a quest in Hopi land with four friends, a flying city mothership flew around dust-wise. Of over 30 sightings of spaceships I've had, this one remains the most impressive so far. The next fall, in Northern California, I heard my first physical Sasquatch run along the valley and stop to release a primal scream that silenced the barking dog and froze my blood. I know since then they exist. A month later in Mount Shasta, I observed several spaceships, one that flew close over us, at my request. In the last 3.5 decades, I have traveled in 20 countries of the Americas and Western Europe. I was blessed to sit and learn, receive teachings and take part in ceremonies, with many elders from several native nations, including Hopi, Dine, Navajo, Apache, Anishinaabe, Algonquin, Cree, Métis, Ojibwe, Atikamekw, Abenaki, Mi'kmaq, Milisit, Innu, Inuit, Wampanoag, Mohawk, Cayuga, Tuscarora, Cherokee, Choctaw, Lakota, Siniksht, Similkameen, Statimk, Tsleil-Waututh, Didi-Dat, Chozon, Chumash, Huichol, Aztec, Zapotec, Olmec, Maya, Bribri, Nazca, Quechua, Aymara, and Chipaya, to name these. I also studied and learned from other spiritual teachings, like Vedic scriptures. From the Lakota, I did an Enipai, sweat lodge, with Seal or Black Crow, who brought back the sun dance. He asked me to watch over his pipe for the night. In Pine Ridge, David Swallow invited me to put up my tipi and join in ceremony, but sadly my traveling partners had no time, so I gave him an earth flag. Hereditary Chief Phil Lane Jr. is a great elder doing an amazing work internationally for the earth and the indigenous peoples. I joined in his ceremonies at the World Unity near Grand Canyon in 94, at the celebration on Burnaby Mountain for the victory in stopping a pipeline last fall, and this spring at the International Indigenous Gathering in Lillooet, where he invited me and I had the honor to sit in the circle of pipe carriers, where he carried Crazy Horse Sacred Pipe, to sung Quitco Canunpawakan. I could share in this circle of elders the pipe I was gifted to carry, following five previous sundances, and on which I added some hair from a white bison she-calf named Prophecy, born in Quebec in 2005. The co-host for my interviews on Prophecy Keepers Radio last spring carried hair from the same bison, out of all odds. After having carried several pipes, this one was gifted to me by its fifth carrier in June 2010, and consecrated at the annual solstice pipe ceremony with Elder William Commander, who smoked it. 2 months later, at the call of the wolf, returned to the Sacred Hoop, an international medicine gathering with elders of over 20 nations, that I organized, during our peak ceremony, which was joined by more than a dozen of events on the five continents. A second white bison was born in Quebec, the little brother of Prophecy. He was later named Majkika Wabishish by Elder Commander. It would be too long in this short account to list the many elders, ceremonies and events that have guided my life path. One who deserves special mention is William Commander, with whom I learned for a dozen of years. A great peacemaker, known as the Elder of Elders and of the Rainbow Prophecy, he worked for 6 decades in peacemaking, teaching healing, gathering medicine teachers through his circle of all nations, a culture of peace, the 7th fire of the prophecy, of which he was the caretaker. Inspired by his teachings of the 7 fire prophecy, I started in spring 2008 the Ironwood Log Project, to document native wisdom on audio and video files, to be shared with a wider audience and archived for future generations. Grandfather William gave his blessings. I made my first film with him and he asked me to present it, as the first film ever projected at his gathering, on giant screen, in front of a large international audience. Since then, Ironwood Log has produced dozens of videos, many available online. Our bank of archives, enriched with contributions of over 20 collaborators, reaches nearly 2 terabits. This initiative is the blessed outcome of many years in transmitting wisdom from the native elders, which has always been my main source of inspiration. My first publication in 85 addressed Helpi prophecies and the critical situation with mining in Big Mountain, 4. A support group I had gathered. With time, I developed my skills in writing, publishing, multimedia editions and networking, through newsletters, articles, magazines, books, videos, web pages. From 92 to 94, as co-editor of the magazine we created, entitled, in French, Full Earth, Native Visions. In the late 90s, with my own publishing house by the name Editions Manitou. In December 2009, I started a Facebook group with the vision of gathering peacemakers, wisdom keepers and earth protectors, to organize the Call of the Wolf, near Wolf Lake, Anishinaabe homeland. First called United First Nations for the Great Law of Peace, the group adopted its actual name at the gathering, after 8 days of ceremonies and council with the elders. One United Nation for the Great Earth Peace is still a dynamic network, with over 21,000 members. I have been involved as well for decades as an international folklizer for the Rainbow Family, having attended 55 gatherings to this day and scouted over 20. I took part in a similar number of native events, gatherings, or powwows, and stayed in dozens of native and alternative communities, meeting allies, and being instrumental on occasions in building bridges between native elders and Rainbow Family. From 94 to 97 in Europe, I share teachings and ceremonies in a dozen of communities and a few gatherings. I contacted 2 dozens of environmental and native rights associations overseas, gave radio interviews, and published documents. I had an appointment at the UN in Geneva as a journalist, to interview a representative of the International Decade of Indigenous Peoples that had just started. In France, I translated the conference of Dine Matriarch Roberta Blagot, and helped form a Big Mountain support group. Months later, 10 Europeans flew back with me from Paris to Arizona, to spend a moon on Hopi and Navajo lands, bringing offerings to the elders, who welcomed us warmly. In summer 2000, a Rainbow Native brother asked me, at the request of the elders, to invite a delegation of the Rainbow Family to their Maidwiwin, Heart Medicine Society, Lodge. In the 7 fires prophecy of this ancient Anishinaabe Medicine Society, at this time of the 7th fire, a new people comes from the 4 directions and 4 colors, seeking the wisdom left behind. Their steps take them back to the elders. If the new people and the elders persevere together, the sacred ways return, bringing healing and an age of peace and balance. The 8th fire. The Anishinaabe elders told us to bring to them people from all races and continents to fulfill this prophecy, inspiring me the vision for a world rainbow with them. After sharing this vision in councils, we sent delegations to the world gatherings in Brazil and Costa Rica, where I opened vision councils with the talking stick I had been carrying, presenting this vision. We reached consensus with the support of local native elders, and the World Rainbow was held on Anishinaabe homeland in August 2004. grandfather commander and many elders recognized the Rainbow family as part of the new people of the prophecy, when four rainbows appeared above us. The last book I published in 2002, was an anthropological novel describing traditions and legends of over 20 nations of the Northeast, entitled, in French, The Keeper of Sacredness, Odyssey on Turtle Island. When I offered it to Elder Commander, he looked through it and stopped at a drawing of Sasquatch. He pointed at him with a smile and said Misuab, as the Anishinaab called the hairy giant. I had made the drawing from imagination, without any idea that the following fall 2003, my friend and I would have a clear visual sighting of Sasquatch on Vancouver Island, returning from ceremony with a local native elder. It was not until recently that I found out it was Camus, who became my teacher. After this second physical Sasquatch encounter, I had no doubt of their existence and became curious in discovering who they are. Research on the internet didn't provide much valid info, other than a few rare precious native legends and knowledge from cultures that have interacted with them for generations. It would be too long to list here the teachings, connections and sacred experiences I was blessed with. My Hopi Coyote uncle had instructed me to go back to my native lands and connect with the tribes and elders there, which I did. He also told me to return to the land of my native ancestors, which I finally fulfilled in summer 2014, when I visited northern Saskatchewan and found the grave of my ancestor. This opened new doors for me, by reconnecting with my roots on the start of a new journey. Arrived in BC, I read legends of local tribes about Sasquatch, known by many names. This reawakened my interest in connecting with those beings, as I felt a strong core and paranormal manifestations occurred around me, without me really understanding what was happening. 6 months ago I met Camus, and since, the Sasquatch spirit has been with me, manifesting in many ways, and transmitting this message. Hopefully, this brief account will answer questions and leave you well informed of this spirit channel. We are hollow bones, blessed with the breath of life, to heal our soul and help consciousness to evolve. The message matters more than the messengers. Truth and wisdom do not only belong to their carrier. Having been guided by our elders to connect with other Sasquatch communicators whose messages resonates with the ones I've been asked to transmit, confirms the source of inspiration as our elders. I am your little brother, as my elder brother calls me, aiming to be true to all my relations, to all life. Walking on the sacred red road, the spiritual path of the Rainbow Warrior, the Hopi way of peace, following the guidance of our elders, for the best interest of all my relations and the future generations. May our circles unite as one family in the sacred hoop, the cosmic order and the divine peace. Related links: Ironwood Log Project, Onizuma Native Online TV, http://www.izuma.tv/fr/ironwood-log-project. Excerpts from Interview on Prophecy Keepers Radio, https://www.youtube.com/watch.v=mfwps7e7e1 United Nation for the Great Earth Peace, https://www.facebook.com/groups/NA United Nation/